find your new church home in your neighborhood with WRFD's Church Quest, now available at WRFD.com.
We're back, and we're trying to contact Ken Blackwell right now. He's in and off the phone with folks from across the country, obviously, as he's running his campaign for the RNC chairmanship. But I would like to spend a few minutes as we're waiting for Ken and get hooked up with him to read from this article that James Antle from the American Spectator wrote today about Ken. In fact, some of the things that took place when Ken announced his candidacy for the RNC chairman is that two of the candidates actually backed out, and one of them joined his campaign. The chairwoman of the Republican Party of Texas actually joined Ken's campaign to help him in his quest to be the RNC chairman. Also, the Club for Growth President Pat Toomey and Steve Forbes also supports Ken for his candidacy. So this article is very favorable towards Ken's candidacy. Goes on to read, no one really knows what is going on inside the minds of the 168 national committee members who will elect the next party chairman, but so far no disconnect between conservative activists and Republican leaders seems to have materialized. Since Blackwell jumped into the race, two potential candidates for RNC chairman have dropped out and endorsed him. One Texas GOP chairwoman, Tina Benskinser, is now a candidate for co-chair as Blackwell's running mate. The other Michigan National Committeeman, Chuck Yobb, is active in the Blackwell campaign and has brought his family alongside. So Ken is getting help from those who had expressed interest to be the RNC chairman. They've backed out of their candidacies and are now supporting him. Certainly a couple of the noted folks that are running as well as Michael Steele, who has seen on Fox News, as well as Ken is on Fox News and other cable outlets, news outlets from time to time as well. And I think that those are two heavy favorites in this whole thing. Maybe you have some thoughts along this line as well. If you're a Republican supporter and activist and you'd like to weigh in on this, like to know what you have to say, 877-262-5483 is the line here at the studio. And hopefully you'll take some opportunity to give us a call and weigh in on this afternoon. Also, coming up a little later in the program, we're going to have Bill Federer of the American Minute and Dr. David Prentice from the Family Research Council as well, so you want to stay tuned for that. This is a great article, really, again, in the American Spectator, if you want to Google that, with Ken Blackwell. That should come up pretty quickly in the Google search. And so I think that's something that's going to be very interesting. We do have Ken with us on the phone. Ken, welcome.
Hey, Chris, how you doing?
Good. Thanks for taking time out. I know you're making a lot of calls and getting a lot of calls as you're running for the RNC chairmanship. I'm referring to our listeners, the article that was in the American Spectator today. Did you get a chance to look at that?
Yes, I have. And I thought it was a pretty accurate assessment of my strengths, my weaknesses, and how my campaign for the chairmanship is going presently.
Well, Ken, I have some questions to ask you. Obviously, we've come through two election cycles now that have not bode well for the Republicans. Obviously, in Congress, they lost additional seats. Here in our own home state of Ohio, of course, the Ohio House went to the Democrats this last election. We did lose a couple of congressional seats as well. The 16th and the 15th district also went to the Democrats. What's your assessment with the party right now? What's gone wrong?
Well, we have been locked into a model that worked in 2000, worked in 2004. Karl Rove crafted a brilliant strategy, but it was only a 28-state strategy. And he won with that strategy in 2000 and 2004. But in 2008, we saw a Democrat Party that had built their party organizations from the ground up in all 50 states. And as a consequence, when you look at Barack Obama's victory, he beat us because he created a new electorate by going out and registering folks who were heretofore not registered, and he got out folks in states where Democrats had not been competitive before. So you have to hand it to Chairman Dean and then the Obama and the Clinton campaigns for creating a 50-state infrastructure that gave them majority party status. And we will be locked in minority party status if we don't rebuild the party from the grassroots up, precinct by precinct, state by state.
There is a lot of discussion post-election as to which way the party should go. Now, maybe it's not as overblown as in years past with social moderates and social conservatives. And then those who are saying, look, we've lost our way when it comes to fiscal conservativeness as a party of the Ronald Reagan, smaller government, cutting taxes, giving people their own personal responsibility for their financial future rather than government seizing that. What's your assessment on that?
Well, I think it is clear that we must build a coalition. We are unlike Democrats who can follow cookie-cutter models and who actually are sort of herded by the strong hand of a central-controlled party apparatus. We are a federation of 50 states and the territories, which means that we have to build governing coalitions. The principles that we've used in the past have been pretty simple and straightforward: limited government, individual liberty, strong national defense, a belief in the free enterprise system, and as a consequence, when we veer from those principles, when we don't behave in a manner consistent with those principles, we create confusion in the minds of voters. And if they're going to vote for Democrats who are authentic and Democrats light or Obama light, the authentic Democrats and Obama will win every time. The most glaring example of this has been the president's misfortune of deciding to break with what has given us the strongest economy in all of human history, even though we experience downturns. And that is a limited government, market-oriented system. These bailouts that he's sort of sanctioned on his way out of office really confuses people, because these are big government interventionist models that ultimately won't work.
Well, that's right, and we're up against a break here, Ken, and I hope you can stay with us this next segment. We're talking with Ken Blackwell, former Secretary of State here in Ohio, and currently running for the RNC chairmanship. We'll be right back after these messages. Don't go away.
Are you an LTD? Prove it. Call 1-877-BOB-LIVE.
The Word, 880 WRFD. RFD.
We're back with Ken Blackwell, who is running for RNC chairman, and Ohio Zone has actually been backed by a number of other folks from across the country, some of which were candidates for the RNC chairmanship and have backed out and are now supporting Ken in his candidacy. Steve Forbes, of course, has weighed in, and also the president of, Pat Toomey of Club for Growth. Ken, tell us a little bit about these folks that are joining on to your campaign to support you.
Well, these are a wide range of political and movement leaders from across the country. And I think it's just wonderful to pick up support from some of the leaders of the conservative movement, both social conservatives, economic conservatives, and strong defense conservatives. But it's also good to pick up support from folks who aspire to lead the RNC, like Chuck Yob and others. That's because they know that historically the RNC has chosen its leader from among its ranks. And my argument for a break with that tradition is that we must once again make this a party that is in sync with the conservative movement and a movement that is willing to build the coalition that Ronald Reagan built in the late 70s and early 80s. And he understood that someone who was with you 80% of your time, 80% of the time, was your friend, not your enemy. And so this is a center-right nation. And I think we have to be the center-right party. And when we are authentically the conservative alternative to a weak defense, big government, open borders party that the Democrats have become, people will choose us. When we are not in sharp contrast and we don't show how our free market approaches will actually change and impact the lives of people, they tend to choose the Democrats. And so we're going to have to get back on track, realize that in 1993, Republicans in Washington were standing around water coolers, wringing their hands, talking about the had fallen. In 1994, while many Republicans and many Democrats didn't think we would bounce back, we came back with the contract for America. It was a clear, decisive plan for putting America back on track, and people picked us. And we took Congress, the House, for the first time in about 60 years. So that's what we have to do. We have to understand that the sky hasn't fallen. We've just gotten off track as a party. We have to be put back on track. And the reality is that, you know, there is no permanent winner's column for political parties that have existed as long as we have. But when you lose, you have to dust yourself off, get up, learn from your loss, and get back on track. And God knows that I've, over, the 32, 33 years that I've been in elective politics, you know, including primaries, I've been on the ballot 17 times, won 13, lost 4, and each one of those losses has been a learning experience. I've learned from it, got back up, and dusted myself off. We in Ohio have suffered from the fact that many times during the 16-year reign when we controlled everything, we start behaving like big government Democrats. And as a consequence, our base lost its steam, lost its focus, and lost its interest in keeping us in office. It is our turn to sort of learn from that defeat and get back on the right track.
Well,
now that applies to the national party also.
And if I hear you right, Ken, that's what you're saying, is that as a party that's lost its way and its message is to returning to those core values of fiscal conservatism, as well as embracing our social conservative positions as well, not throwing them out the window. And I don't think anyone, there are a few that are calling for that, but I don't think the majority are. And, you know, obviously, there's going to be a debate, and I think what you're talking about is the kind of thing that's needed. And to bring that kind of coalition together again, that Reagan coalition that really rebirthed the party, and I think it's an opportunity. Back in 2000, 2002, I remember there were people that were saying that the Democratic Party might be no more. I mean, they basically were saying it was a party that was going the way of the Whigs. Certainly these things go in cycles, they came back strong in 2006 and 2008. They kind of learned some lessons where you're saying that the Republicans kind of stood still while the Democrats outmaneuvered them in a number of ways. And I think it's fascinating, a few things that you've touched upon in reaching out to new voters. You talked about there was a 28-state strategy and broadening that to the 50 states and the territories. I think is fascinating. So I'm very much looking forward to this debate. We're going to go into break right now. Ken Blackwell will be with us in this next segment as well. If you're standing by, if you'd like to join in, 877-262-5483 is the number here. Again, we're talking with Ken Blackwell, who's running for the RNC chairmanship, and we'll talk about it in just a few minutes. We'll be right back.
Bob wants to come to your church. Find out how to host a CrossPower weekend at crosspower.net. Pastors, get news, information, and insight from pastors for pastors. Sign up to become a very important pastor at WRFD.com.
We're back with Ken Blackwell, who's running for the chairmanship of the RNC. And we're going to talk with Ken just these last few minutes of what the process is like. Ken, I'm reading in the article that 168 national committee members are the ones who actually cast their ballots. When will this take place?
This will take place on January the 29th. The last time we entertained this process where the committee actually chose the person as opposed to signing off on the president's choice was in 1997. There were six ballots taken before a chairman was chosen. A very strong finish, but no cigar, was given to Bob Bennett, who ultimately threw his support behind the winner. And as a consequence, this is a process where the 168 folks who represent their states and the territories will make that decision. But I think the big decision will be whether this group of folks is committed to restructuring the RNC to become a genuine national party as opposed to just being an appendage of the White House when Republicans control the White House and just an ornament on a tree when we don't control the White House. We have a party platform. And if it's to mean something, we must give it breath. We must give it meaning through our actions. And I'm just so proud that this time around, Chairman Duncan and others chose me to be a vice chairman of the platform committee. I think we have a clear, conservative, pro-free market, pro-life, pro-strong defense platform that is consistent with our traditional beliefs and the power of the rule of law. So I'm looking forward to the discussions, debates, the comparisons about our plans for the future. This is not going to be one of those knockdown, drag-out debates. This is we know, all six of us, that we can't afford a slash-and-burn campaign because it's very difficult to build lasting quality on a pile of ashes. So I look forward to it also.
Well, and Ken, all of our best wishes, and I know that many of our listeners support you and will be communicating with their local party leadership to express their support for you and your candidacy, and we wish you well, my friend.
Thank you, Chris. All the best. God bless.
Thank you.
Bye.
Happy New Year. And that is Ken Blackwell. We're going to a break, and we'll be back with Dr. Prentice.
The Word, 880 WRFD.